The reading today is found on page 1028 in the Pew Bible, and it is Luke chapter 2, verse 21 to 35. Jesus presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Amen.
Thanks, Jamie. Well, that was a great reading. There's so much we could say from this. We've been looking at our Advent songs. Today is the fourth song. We had a couple of solos. We had the solo by Mary, and we had a solo by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Then last week we had the whole chorus joining in as the angels sang, Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace. But today is another solo by Simeon. So we're going to look at this song. I don't know if you have made a bucket list. Have you heard that expression, a bucket list? There was a film out some years ago called The Bucket List. A bucket list is making a list of things you'd like to do before you die. Now that might sound a bit somber and a bit serious, and we don't want to, you know, dwell on that too much. But maybe you've thought about the things you'd like to do before you die, because life is short. And I've got a few suggestions up here. These are some of the things that I would quite like to do. I've done this. Been to Disney to see Mickey and Minnie, because that's a really exciting thing to do. Do you see Mickey and Minnie up there, boys and girls? Wouldn't it be great to see them in real life? Yeah. Or maybe instead of that, you could learn a new language. Maybe you could learn French or German or Uzbekistani or whatever it might be. Would you like to learn a new language? No, I definitely would not. Okay, well, what about if you don't want to do that? What about running a marathon? Before you die, you could run a marathon. Terry, I think you and me should run next year's Dublin Marathon. We could get into training, you and I. We could do this. Yeah, or if you don't want to run a marathon, what about riding a roller coaster? I've never been on a scary roller coaster because I'm chicken. But maybe it's something that you'd like to do. Put it in your bucket list. Or what about doing some snorkeling or, what do you call this? Scuba. Well done. You've obviously scubaed, have you, Graham? Is there anything you haven't done? Have you got a bucket list? Never bungeed. I never thought about that one. But to do something like that. But you could, have you done this? Paragliding. Look at that. I would hate to do that. Oh, my goodness. Just to look at it, my tummy kind of goes funny. But maybe you'd like to put in your bucket list something you'd like to do before you die. Or if not, what about this? What about dancing in the rain with your shoes off? Just running about in the rain with your shoes off. Just complete abandon. What about doing that before you die? You're a bucket list. Or what about learning a new instrument? Learning an instrument. We could play as good as June Young. No, I don't think we could because he's excellent. But learning an instrument, something to do before you die. Or this is what I really want to do, knit a scarf. This is the top of my list. I want to knit a scarf. Yes. And the very final one, fly a kite. Have you flown a kite, Haley? Are you any good at it? Oh. She's very confident, isn't she? Yeah. Yeah. What would you like to put on your list? But we're looking at Simeon today, and Simeon had a bucket list, but there was only one thing on it. And it wasn't to scuba or bungee jump or travel the world or run a marathon. It was to see the salvation of God, to see the face of Jesus, to hold the Savior in the world of the world in his arms. That is what he wanted to do. And so he knew that would happen because God had revealed to him that that would happen, but he didn't know when, so he waited. And he waited. Now there was a man called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was waiting for God to come and do something special. That's what that means. To do something special, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Jesus. We're not very good at waiting, are we? Everything's instant. We can get instant news. You turn on the TV and you can see what's happening in Aleppo today. You can see all around the world instant news. We like our coffee instant. We like everything instant. Microwave it because we don't want to wait. And even in a spiritual sense, we like to have instant results, don't we? I would love to see our church grow and grow and grow very quickly. I would love to see revival come to Greystones and County Wicklow very quickly. And even in prayer, we can say a prayer for someone that we love. We want them to come to know Jesus, or we want them to be made well. We can pray and we want God to answer us right away. Because it feels when he doesn't answer us right away that he's not answering. Is he there? But God will not be rushed. And that's a good thing, because it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. Isaiah chapter 40 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Good things happen when we wait, even though we're not very good at it. And sometimes when we wait, we think we're wasting time. But who invented time? To whom does time belong? It belongs to God. And so because it belongs to him, it's not ours. And if he says, wait, well, why shouldn't we wait? Because this is time that he has made. And it will all happen in good time. Waiting is found throughout the Bible. Do you know God spoke to Abraham when he was 75 years old? And he said, Abraham, you don't have any children, but you see these stars in the sky and grains of sand on the beach? You're going to have a family huge like this. When he was 75. When did he have a child? 15 years later, God came again and made the same promise. Abraham, you're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. He'd already waited 15 years. And he had to wait another 10. And he was 100 years old when he had Isaac. He waited 25 years. When God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and set my people free. They're going to head towards the promised land. He thought, well, I could do that. That doesn't take too long. It's like a holiday. I'll be back before you know it to look after these sheep. And we know that he wandered that desert for 40 years. And Moses himself didn't make it. When Jesus died on a cross and was laid in a tomb, he could have been resurrected in an instant. But no, he kept people waiting who were grieving for him for 3 long days. And when he was leaving his disciples and he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, wait in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem, wait in Jerusalem till I send the Spirit. Did they wait a day or 2 days? Lord, when's it going to happen? 3 days, a week? They waited 50 long days before the Spirit came. Waiting is a very important thing. Are you developing the spiritual discipline of being prepared to wait? Are we teaching our children, the boys and girls that we love, the importance of waiting? If I were to say, I wish I had some money in my pocket, but if I was to say, here's a 10 euro note and I'm going to give it to you, Hosek, I'm going to give it to you, and I reached out and gave it to you. That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. But if I was to say, Hosek, I promise I'm going to give you this 10-euro note, and I didn't give it to you today, and I didn't give it to you tomorrow, and I didn't give it to you next year, it would be a matter of, does he trust me? Can he believe the words that I have said? Because if I give it to him instantly, he doesn't need to trust. But in the waiting, we have to learn to trust. Do we trust what God says? Do we trust he will follow through in his promises? Do we believe there is a God? Do we trust him? Trusting is so important. We want to instill this in our children, that we can trust God. That is very important, that we teach our children, you can trust God. God said to Moses, and Moses said to the people, do you remember when they left Egypt? They were crossing the Red Sea. The Egyptians were coming after them again with their chariots, and they were scared stiff. They were frightened. And this is what Moses said to the people. Don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord today. The Egyptians you see, well, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to wait. They were scared. Moses said, you wait. Stand still and see what God will do. But there's also a biblical principle of the fullness of time. If I were to bake a cake, today when I go home, I'm going to bake a cake because I love baking. Not. But if I were to bake a cake and the recipe said, put it in the oven for 30 minutes. Is that how long you bake a cake for? Kind of? No. 30 minutes. And I put it in the oven, but I can't wait. So after 5 minutes, I take it out of the oven. Would it be ready? Or if I waited 6 minutes, would it be ready? If I waited 15 minutes, would it be ready? No, I'd be really disappointed because I had to wait for 30 minutes for the fullness of time for this cake to rise and do what it does. And the Bible, God's ways are exactly the same. Things happen in the fullness of time. Jesus is coming again. We've waited 2,000 years, but he will come because he said he would. And he will come in the fullness of time exactly like he did the first time that he came. Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Jesus came when the time was right and not before. And he will come again when the time is right and not before. So he came, and Simeon held him in his arms and looked on his face. The one thing on his bucket list had been achieved, and so there was nothing else to do. And he said to God, I'm ready to die. Sovereign Lord, verse 29, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Those words, now dismiss, this is sometimes called the nunc dimittis. Two Latin words that mean now dismiss. You now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. He had seen all that he wanted to see. His life's ambition had been realized. He was ready to die. We assume that Simeon was very old, and he may well have been very old. Some church traditions say that he was 113 years old. But we don't know if that's the case. And the Bible doesn't say he was old. All it says was that he was ready to die. But couldn't you be younger and see Jesus? And so are ready to die. For what more is there to do? What more is there to achieve when your eyes see Jesus and when you embrace him for yourself? And that's what Jesus wants us to feel like too. He wants our undivided loyalty. Simeon, it says, was devoted. And that's how Jesus wants us to be to him. He said, you can't serve two masters. He said, don't be lukewarm or I'll spit you out of my mouth. He said, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. He said, follow me. Fix your eyes on me. That is what he's looking for us. The same attitude as Simeon had. Looking for him and being satisfied in him. When I was thinking about this, the world but the word algebra came into my mind. Algebra. Don't we love algebra? Do you remember doing algebra at school, Liam? Didn't you love it? Did you? Weirdo. Nobody likes algebra. And everybody says, why do we have to study algebra? I'll never use this. And isn't that the case? How many? I don't know if I've ever used algebra since. We say, why am I learning this? Because I'll never use it. And sometimes we can look at our faith in the same way. We learn something, but do we implement it? Do we use it? Do we make it fulfill its potential and achieve its function in our lives? Or is our faith like algebra? We know a bit about it. We don't like it all that much, and so we'll never use it. But this passage calls us to be like Simeon, who not only knew, but lived his faith. And this is what we are called to do. And this is what we're called to teach our children and our grandchildren. They want to hear the words, they want to see it taught, but they want to see it modeled as well, because words without action is just a waste of time. They want to look at you and see Jesus is important to you. He's at the top of your list. He's the master that you serve. He's the one that you follow. He's the one that you wait upon. That is what Simeon says to us. There was no one more important. He was top of the list. And after he had seen him, didn't matter what happened after that. And this is what this passage says to us. This is why we light a candle. Jesus has come. He is the Savior of the world. He places his Spirit within us when we believe in him. He will come again. Let us wait expectantly.